Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We at Fatanize pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land. Is this thing on? Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Fatanize podcast. I'm your host, Demi Lynch, and we are here today, as always, to talk about issues, topics related to being a fat bitch. I'm very excited to do this episode because my guest and I can finally talk about news that we've been holding to ourselves for so many months now. I'm speaking with Lucy Wilkins, and she and I will be working alongside each other at Melbourne Fashion Festival.
Woo! So excited.
Yes. How does it feel, my dear, to finally be able to talk about it publicly? Because we've known about this for months.
Yeah, I know. It's been like since November or something.
I know, right? Oh.
I'm so excited.
So tell the listeners, what have you got plans for Melbourne Fashion Festival, my dear?
Well, I'm producing my first show, well, sort of. I've done some theatre before. But, first runway show for my brand. And I'm producing a runway called The Fat Runway, Fabulous and Trendy, in brackets. And it's going to be on at the Footscray Community Arts Centre on March 4th. And it's going to have work from six brands, all Melbourne-based brands, small brands, who got up to at least a size 24. I know I'd like it to be bigger, but for now, it's our first year. Our goal is to connect young fat people with youthful fashion brands for fat people, because so often plus size clothing is, you know, black sacks for older women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This runway, I wanted to find some brands that really like celebrate fat bodies and are bright and colorful and fun and youthful.
Yeah, I'm so excited for it. Like, I cannot wait to be sitting in the rows and just watching all the models. And you've already been sharing some of the models that are going to be part of the runways, which I just love that you have so many people of like so many different shapes, sizes, colors. It's just, I'm so excited. So yes, people listening, please, 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 please go to Fashion Festival and check out The Fat Runway. It's just going to be spectacular. I just know it. It's just going to be absolutely fabulous. And what I am doing at Melbourne Fashion Festival, those that didn't see the announcement, is I'll be hosting this podcast live with a special guest, which will be announced soon. So yes, I'm just always good to be able to finally talk about it and do be able to talk about this amazing event that's coming up soon. So it'll be awesome. Very, very exciting.
I know, it's going to be like a total fat takeover for that weekend.
I know, right? Oh, I'm
the perfect all here trip. For it.
Yes,
people should definitely come to Melbourne. Yeah.
Yes. I'm so keen for my first trip to Melbourne, and yeah, it's going to be the fat takeover. I'm here for it. Absolutely. Yeah. So, tell the listeners that may not know about the Lucy Wilkins fashion label. Like, how did it even begin? Because your brand is very much associated to vintage-inspired plus-size clothes, isn't it?
Yeah, mostly. That's definitely where it started. It's branched out into more whimsy and cottagecore from there. But, so I wanted to start this brand for years, but never really had the time because I was working full-time as a theatrical costume designer. And so I was just flat out. So I tried to start it like 4 years ago. No, it was 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I sold like one skirt and it didn't happen. Like, it just didn't take off. And during the pandemic, well, the start of the pandemic, I thought, well, I've lost all my theatre work, so I may as well do the thing that I wanted to do years ago. So it started off as just a way of making money and something to do in lockdown. And gone from there. I think lockdown was actually a really good time to start a business because you can focus your whole energy and attention on it. I was also getting, the JobKeeper, so that was a good funding method for my business too.
Yes, the one thing the Australian government actually okay with.
one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's taken off. I think people in lockdown were looking to support artists first of all, because especially people in theater, we had like no security. Everyone just lost all their work all at once, and so people were looking for artists to support. People were sort of sitting around feeling miserable and wanting something to brighten their day, and so I was happy to be able to supply that for people.
I love that, and
it was really important to me, obviously, as a plus size woman, to make it really size inclusive. I also don't really believe in sizing. Like, everything I make is custom made to measurements, because I'm like top heavy, and I've always had trouble finding things that fit my boobs in them. You know, like, even if it is my size, it still doesn't fit right. Mm. So that's why it's really important to me, to do like custom measurements. And I also, everything that I make has a certain amount of flexibility in it, so that if you are someone who fluctuates, like on your period or, you know, PCOS or something, and your size changes a lot, I wanted to make stuff that you could keep wearing, you know, for environmental reasons, and also just because it's annoying to change your wardrobe every 5 minutes.
Oh my God, yes. Especially as a plus size person, when it's so hard to get clothes that actually fit you. As a plus size person, when you find an outfit that actually like fits you and you love, like, I don't know about you, I will wear that to death.
Yes, for sure.
So as someone though that is a business owner that runs a clothing brand, tell the listeners, because I always hear this in the comments all the freaking time, of people just being like, it's too expensive for brands to expand their sizes. You know, it's a lot of fabric to expand their sizes to plus sizes.
Yeah, so, the usual excuses.
I need the truth here, honey. I need the truth, okay? As someone that is a business owner, as someone that has started from scratch, how expensive is it to actually cater to plus sizes? Is it really that big of a deal from a financial point of view to go up a size or two?
Look, I mean, it's different for some businesses. Obviously, mine, it was no different. It cost no extra because everything's custom made anyway. And the way I've designed my dresses, the amount of fabric difference is like a quarter of a meter, which really, that is not the major cost in making a garment. Labor is always the major cost. Fabric is pretty minimal, unless you're using like $500 a meter fabric, which 90% of businesses don't use, you know. Fabric costs are really pretty minimal, and so that excuse is pretty stupid. And also, if you're worried about the costs, price to the largest size, and then you get bonus money on the smaller sizes, you know. You're never going to lose any money, and everyone pays the same, you know. So it's really not an excuse. For larger businesses, you know, the pattern making process takes longer. So, you know, there's some costs there. But really, I think most of the people who don't extend their sizing, they're either fat phobic. No, they're fat phobic. Like, that's honest. They are always fat phobic. Mm-hmm. But like, the only excuse that I can see for not extending your sizing is that you don't have pattern makers that actually know what they're doing. Fashion schools don't really train people up in plus size pattern making properly. So I had to teach myself, like most people do. Theatre is a bit better with like teaching you all bodies, because you're working in opera and stuff like that. So you need to be able to do anyone. But when you're doing fashion, it's really like up to a size 16. And it used to be worse. Like mum studied fashion in the 80s and they only went up to a 14. That's all she learned.
Wow.
It's how to draft up to a 14. And they all draft off like pattern blocks and stuff, and they only go up to a 14 or 16 or whatever. So unless you understand fat bodies, like I do, it can be hard to make plus sizes. Like, I have seen brands trying to do the right thing, bringing out plus sizes, and then they're fucking awful. You know, like, they don't get like which bits grow and which bits don't.
The yes.
Number of, yeah, right? The number of things I've bought that are like made for a footballer, like I have small shoulders. I've always had small shoulders, and no matter what size I am, I will have small shoulders because that's my skeleton. You know, like I gain weight on my arms, but not my shoulders. So like that stuff like that, it's sort of something you only really understand if you've either studied it properly or have lived in a fat body. So, you know, like it can be hard for some people, but I think really the problem is fashion schools, they really need to change. If they do teach plus sizes, it's usually like one little section of the whole course, you know, and like one of my friends is actually studying fashion at the moment. And in her first year, she was told she wasn't allowed to use fat, like fashion templates to draw her designs on.
Wow.
So she really wants to do plus sizes, but she's worried that she's not going to get the education that she needs. Yeah. So like even people who really want to do it, sometimes they're just not taught how to do it. And that's really not good enough. You know, wow. You have to do your own research on top of the study that you've just paid to do.
Yeah, that's so unfair. So then no wonder so many people just don't see it as such an important issue in their brand because they just didn't get taught it, and it was just seen as just a like an inconvenience, like I guess we got to cater to the fat people now as well.
And like when you get to larger sizes, the differences tend to be more pronounced. Your stomach gets bigger, your rolls get bigger, so there's a lot more to think about other than just the increasing the size a little bit. So many clothes I've bought, they're supposedly my size, and the arms are like 3 centimeters too small, and I don't have very big arms. So imagine people who have larger arms than me, you know. So there's all sorts of things you have to think about, and if you haven't been taught, you just they're going to turn out bad. Like I've seen people not put darts in plus size clothing, which you might be able to get away with like flat chested thin people, but it just looks awful without darts in clothing, you know, because like it won't shape to your body properly.
What do you mean darts? What does that mean?
Oh, so darts.
I do not know this.
Sorry, my technical speak. Yes. Darts are just like a little fold of fabric that you sew, which like creates shape for a bodice. Usually you need it around your bust, either like at the waist or at the sides to make it fit over your bust. Otherwise it will just sit like, you know, this weird straight square on your boobs and not actually like curve over them. It creates curves,
like a nice
basically.
Shape around it. People that do fashion, honestly, like just props to them, because it's just like creating like origami around the body, like that just baffles me. That just goes right over my head. I'm just like, anyway, that's just me getting baffled by like just fashion in general, just being like, how do people just create it so it looks like a shape and not just like a square?
It's definitely like a whole language that you need to learn.
Yeah, for sure. So it's so exciting though, then, with all this history with plus size fashion just being such a pain for plus size consumers, it is just so great that this upcoming Melbourne Fashion Festival, we're going to have this fat runway, which I'm just so excited.
Finally.
And I'm really happy that you're also collaborating with like some small brands as well, because it would just be so great to give them the platform as well.
Yeah, for sure. And so I'm hoping to do it again next year if this one goes well. And I'd love to showcase like new brands each year so people can get to know more and more people. So I think it will be a really great thing for people, especially young people, to be able to find clothes that is actually age appropriate and makes them feel happy.
Like as you touched on before, finding clothes like for a younger demographic for plus size is so freaking hard.
City chic doesn't cut it.
Girl, honey, city chick. Oh my god, I can write a whole essay.
I know.
Oh my god. Oh, when the whole thing got released about Fashion Festival, I'm just like, please, city chick does make it part of this. That would be the most awkward thing in the entire world.
I don't think that.
No, they would not know what to do. They'd be like, oh, for fat people, we have to actually create clothes that actually looks good on the runway. That's a bit difficult for us.
Yeah.
We've had the same clothes for 5-10 years. How does one do that?
Yes,
I'm always the anti cedar chick person. I think my now reputation's now that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, growing up, I honestly, like, the only brands I really knew of that I could really dress in was cedar chick. What was the other one? There was TS Taking Shape.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're still around.
Yeah, they're still around.
They're still around, yeah. They just don't have any shops. I can't remember the last time I saw a physical shop.
I think they have some.
They have some? Oh, okay. Huh.
I just don't go in.
Yeah. But yeah, I just remember I had those. And then I had, like, you know, I could go into David Jones or Maya and they might have like two things that were like plus size, which was just.
Yeah. And they're usually aimed at 40-year-old women or plus 40+.
Yes, all these brands are all aimed at the older demographic, and it's just like, no, I'm in my early 20s. I want to like be in my slut era. Like, how am I? No,
yes.
I want to let the girls out and legs out. I don't want to just cover them all up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I grew up in Tassie, and I was costuming like student productions when I was there. From quite a young age, and I noticed something that whenever I asked people their sizes, because I'd measure them and then I'd ask them what size they preferred to wear, no one ever said above a 14, no matter what size they were.
Interesting.
It was always a 14, even if they were 18, 20, they'd still be saying 14, and I realized it's because Valley Girl sold up to a 14, and so they would just find whatever was stretchy in Valley Girl to wear, and like that's what they had to deal with. Because in Tassie, they're really, like, we didn't have cedar chick in Tasmania.
Mm.
So, you know, there wasn't really much, you know. Everyone shopped at Valley Girl.
Oh, my God. I was one of those girls. Yeah, I would. Valley Girl, they had trendy stuff. Because you could never do Supre, because Supre was always, like, two sizes smaller than what they actually were. So that was no luck there at all. And City Beach, oh, my God. Yeah, that was just teeny, teeny, tiny, and then, like, double the price. So, yeah, Valley Girl was, like, the only hope growing up. And, oh, God, that was me as well. I would always lie to my mom and be like, yeah, I'm a 14, even though at the time I was an 18, and be like,
Yeah, so I hope we can change the world so that teenage girls don't have to bloody lie about their size or squeeze into things and feel like shit.
Yes, that's the aim of this, that we change that and that, yeah, young people can grow up and just wear some fabulous shit that isn't like, you know, targeted at the wrong demographic, that's actually catered to their bodies and actually makes them feel fabulous. Like,
yeah. And we are starting to get there a little bit, but, like, you know, with Cotton On, they've extended their sizing, but it's not with everything. Like, I see the cute dresses at the front, I'm like, but they're not in the plus size section, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just a few things and it's usually the boring basics.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, it's good to have something. It's better than nothing. But, yeah, it's still not quite there.
Yeah, we're slowly getting there. One progress that I am happy with is with Dangerfield, because about a year ago.
Yeah, that was exciting.
About a year ago, there was all this controversy because they extended their sizing and then they took away their extended sizing without letting anyone know.
Yeah.
And then now they have re-released their extended sizes. And it was so lovely the other day. I'm based in Brisbane and I walked past a Dangerfield store and it was so nice because there was a mannequin out front and it was a curvy mannequin wearing Dangerfield clothes. I'm just like, yes, finally. Like, oh, I did not think I would ever see that considering what happened with the whole controversy of them
for sure
getting rid of their sizes. So hopefully that means we've got progress coming.
Yeah.
Hopefully for more brands, that would be great.
Yeah, and I think being, like, really open and honest about what you're doing to improve your size range is really important.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes I'll see brands and I'll be like, why haven't they extended their sizing? And they might actually be working on it behind the scenes, but they haven't told people about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you tell people what's going on, like, they had a whole thing of, they, you know, told us that they're extending to a 24 and then they're just going to keep trying to get bigger as they go, you know.
Mm.
I think that's great.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance.
UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So to conclude today's show, every single week I ask my guests to share their fave fat-friendly find of the week, which is pretty much brands, products, even people that actually cater to the plus-size community or actually dedicate themselves to the plus-size community. So, my dear, what is your fave fat-friendly finds of the week?
Well, it's not really of the week, but of the year, I guess. Discovering A Plus Market was such a big thing for me. Like, obviously, it's been amazing being part of it, but just seeing everyone being able to buy secondhand clothes and new clothes in, all sorts of sizes, trying things on in real life, and being able to spend time with other fat people and build a fat community, because I think that's so important. When you're like the fat friend, you feel kind of alienated. But like I've made so many friends through that market, and it's been really affirming. And there's such a great support network.
And they're going to be at the upcoming fashion festival, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to be the day after our runway. So it's going to be a whole weekend of fat stuff, which is so great. Yes. Total takeover.
Yes, the fat takeover. I'm here for it. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them. And I like you said, it's just so great how much of a community that they've really created. And with their markets that, they collaborate not only with brands for the stores, but then they also collaborate with just individuals so they can sell their stuff, make some money, and then others can buy plus size garments that are either secondhand or new from brands. It's just, it's what I needed as a teenager.
I know.
But I needed. Absolutely.
Yes. And they're also really like queer friendly and everything. So everyone feels really welcome and loved there. It's just, it's just a really great community.
Yeah. I would have to say my fave fat-friendly find of the week would have to be a book that I'm currently rereading. I read this book a couple years ago, and I was at a very different place with my body. I wasn't really a big fat activist. I was just slowly learning about the world of journalism and trying to figure out my place in the industry. So I've decided to reread the book Hunger by Roxane Gay, and it's just... oh, it's just amazing. It's just such an incredible book where Roxane Gay just talks about the fat phobia that is just integrated into today's society, and just how her fatness just affects so many parts of her life and how people treat her. It's just, I adore her so much. So highly recommend, people, if you want like a really good read, like check out Hunger. I was able to get mine on Booktopia. I've struggled to get it from bookshops. I don't know why. Australia, do better with that. But check it out on Booktopia. Like, just Hunger, such a good read. Well, thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into today's episode. As we said, if you want more details about the PayPal Melbourne Fashion Festival, please check out today's show notes. There'll be more information about the Fat Runway and also my upcoming live podcast, which will also be on the Saturday, March 4th in the early afternoon. And then the runway will be in the evening. So, make a day of it. Make a day of it.
Yeah.
Having a fat takeover in Melbourne. Yes. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review or rating wherever you're listening to today's podcast. And I will see you all next week. I'm your host, Sammy Lynch. Bye. We at Fat and Eyes pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay. And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.